Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Raising up men with godly integrity and convictions has never been more challenging than in today's culture. A culture that has created and thrives on moral confusion, uncertainty, and doubt, especially among young boys and girls. And as you know, God's design for the family, one biological man, one biological woman, in a commitment. It's a covenant called marriage. It's being scrutinized. It's being mocked and laughed at in our culture. And raising children in the midst of all this opposition seems to be more challenging than ever before. Today, we start a brand new series on how to raise your boys and turn them into godly men. My guest today is Dr. Mike Fabares. He's the founding pastor of Compass Bible Church in Aliso Viejo, California. He is the author of several books, and today we discuss his latest book. It's titled, Raising Men, Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss several things. Number one, this concept between guarding and vilifying sexuality. And number two, you can learn the lazy parents' approach to keeping their children pure. Today's show is titled, The Importance of a Father's Touch. Pastor Mike, thank you so much and welcome to the show, God, Sex, and You. I'm really glad to have you on the program because you are going to address one of the most frequently asked questions that I get, and that is, how in the world do I even start this sex discussion, you know, with my boys? And I think you do a great job of that in one of your chapters called Raising Men in a World Half Full of Women. And you talk about this concept of guarding and vilifying sexuality. Can we start with that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's such an important part of what we do as parents is to give them really their first definitions and kind of the parameters for what this thing called sex is all about that saturates our culture. And I mean, they're going to be exposed to sexually charged images from the time they're have cognizant of what's going on in the world. So we get to define all that. And I think we have to be very careful that while we want to guard them, because we all intuitively sense as Christian parents that we don't want them to, you know, end up in the backseat of a car exploring their sexuality in their teenage years, we can't vilify this thing called sex, which I'm sure this program regularly tries to salvage, right?
Sure.
I mean, we can't vilify it. This is a good thing. It's a gift from God, and we've got to find that balance as parents of speaking well of romance and sex and marriage, and at the same time, bringing those parameters to where this is supposed to be exercised and enjoyed.
Yeah, I think a lot of times what I hear, Pastor Mike, is this idea of, you know what, sex is it's kind of gross, so you need to save it for the person that you love, right? We kind of share that with our children, and that's not God's design, is it?
No, never. And it's the easy way out. I mean, it's easy to vilify sex, to say, hey, it's icky, it's gross. And to me, that's the lazy parents' approach to trying to keep their kids sexually pure. If we make it a terrible thing, an ugly thing, a gross thing, if we just keep them thinking that, you know, girls have cooties and, you know, guys are just out to exploit you and your bodies, we hope that they'll stay pure. But in the end, what that does is it really raises up a generation of people that really learn from their most important and trusted teachers, mom and dad, that sex is a bad thing. It's an ugly thing. It's a dirty thing. And it's a thing that, you know, shouldn't be ever thought of in the way that it's presented to us in the Bible. We're teaching them something contrary to God's word when we make this a dirty, nasty, terrible thing, and hoping that that kind of value or devalue of sex will keep them, you know, out of the backseat of a car.
You even mentioned some of the like just offhanded jokes that, you know, the church may do or the parents may say.
Yeah, I mean, think about how many parents, especially of little girls, it seems, and they talk about dad's going to have a shotgun ready when they're teenagers,
yes,
and
yeah.
they're not going to get married until they're 30, and I'm not going to let them date until they're, you know, out of the house. I mean, this is the kind of joking that we do in raising our kids, and it gets a laugh out of our, you know, our peers mm-hmm. and our mm-hmm. fellow parents. But in reality, it's setting our kids up for failure. Number one, especially if you're raising boys, the power of sexual desire is not going to vilify sex enough to keep boys from, you know, wanting to have sex. It's just not. And unfortunately, with girls, sometimes it works. You know, sometimes they become these frigid adult women who don't want to have anything to do with sex and are so conditioned by their parents that, you know, sex is bad, shouldn't get married until I'm 30. You know, dad doesn't want me to ever have anybody, you know, touch my body, that you end up having these Christian women who have such sexual aversions, they end up in the pastor's office in marital counseling saying, husband saying, you know, I married this gal and I thought this would be more than a roommate situation, but, you know, she just can't get over this view that sex is a dirty, terrible thing. So parents, it starts at home. Parents have to start thinking in a healthy way about sex. You need to read the Song of Solomon, you know, once a month if you have to realize that God says this is a good thing.
How important is it for the father to be not only demonstrating that healthy touch with their daughters, but with their sons as well?
Yeah. I mean, if all we do is let our sons learn that, you know, kind of the tactile, sensual experience mm-hmm. of sex and romance is, you know, something that they start to think about as they walk by Victoria's Secret in the mall or, you know, get hit with a, you know, a Carl's Jr. commercial on the TV.
Sure.
You know, we've left them kind of without a definition, and we've allowed the world, and Satan is behind that whole campaign, to give them this sense that it's like a drug. You know, it's all about your gratification and getting a sexual high, and we don't allow them to recognize that sex is the ultimate expression of two people, right, connecting in a relationship of tenderness and love, and yes, it's an intoxicating thing, as the Bible says. You know, your wife's breasts are supposed to intoxicate you always, and there's something to that, but it has to be seen as a part of a loving, familial kind of connection. So dads need to speak well of it. Dads need to certainly, you know, create that healthy view of it. And you can't ignore it, which a lot of parents do. A lot of Christian parents vilify it, and a lot of parents just ignore it. And dads need to take that role, I think, of speaking positively about it. And even, you know, like you said, that touch, especially as they watch dad and mom touch one another, if you will, if there's that kind of affection in the home. These are the kinds of things that help a son in particular recognize, okay, I get this. It's not about, you know, whistling at a girl who walks by a construction site. It's about dad and mom finding that sexual connection, even as they just romantically hug one another or touch one another in the kitchen, you know, at 6:30 after they're cleaning up from dinner. I mean, that's the kind of thing I think that can help round out a son's view that I realize the proper context for this powerful thing called mm-hmm. sex that he's constantly bombarded with.
Yeah, and the physical touch, if I can just expand on that just a little bit more about, especially the boys, about, you know, wrestling and roughhousing and doing all that. They need that from their father, but from a daughter's perspective, how important it is for a loving father to show her that affection.
Absolutely.
Can you touch on that a little bit as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a daughter as well. And I do think that parental love, and there's so many statistics, which I'm sure you guys explore on this program, of how healthy a sexual relationship your daughter will end up having if she had that affection and that affirmation from her father. And so dads need to hug their daughters. Dads need to, you know, create that kind of safety net that really young girls in their development are longing for intuitively. And so dads, you've got to compliment your daughter. You've got to love your daughter. You've got to hug your daughters. You have to, you know, even be playful with your daughters, of course, with propriety, so that they have a sense that, you know, at that home and familial base of their life, they recognize that they're loved and that they have that foundation. Because a girl that doesn't get that at home and have the proper dad kind of affection, she so often goes out to seek it as I said at the outset of the program, in the backseat of someone's car. Mm-hmm. So we've got to, dads have got to step up. And anytime I write on parenting or speak on parenting, man, so much of this is coming back to dad. I mean, mom, of course, is a key player and essential, but dads who check out so quickly, it seems, I mean, they're so attentive and so alert at work and so strategic at work, and then they come home and plop down in the recliner. We've got to work harder at the investment of our children's lives, particularly because we only have them in our homes for a short time. And so I really do encourage dads in this book to take the lead in this, not just in the issue of, you know, training in terms of a healthy view of sex, but in every other area, work ethic, finances, you know, fun and games, everything else that our kids have to grapple with and find the proper place for.
Are you a father who's checked out when it comes to raising kids? Well, it's a pretty easy thing to do, isn't it? After being at work all day and you come home and you just want to be left alone, don't you? Well, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 reads, "And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into that land that he swore to give you when he made vows to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses, they're going to be richly stocked with goods that you did not produce. And you're going to draw water from cisterns that you did not dig. And you're going to eat from vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant." Aren't those encouraging words from the Lord? Man, I pray that you persevere through that daily grind of work and come home to love your wife, love your children, and in doing so, to receive those promises from the Lord God Almighty. Well, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Mike Fabares. He is the author of Raising Men and Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. We'll be discussing the power of sexuality and desire. Well, can you believe it? It's almost Christmas time. And if God nudges you to make a year-end donation to any ministry, I would ask that you please consider a tax-deductible gift to God, Sex, and You. You can do that by visiting dustindaniels.org/give. If you're also looking for some reading materials on purity and sexual integrity, please let me point you to our online store as well. That's dustindaniels.org, and just click on store. Thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor and email me your questions at dustindaniels.org. Matthew 5:8, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you and look forward to our time again on Monday.